Good. He is good all the time. And all the time he's good. How many of you are ready to have church up in here? Amen. Amen. I thank God for all that he is and all that he will be for us and all the things that he is doing. God is God, and God is God on the worst days, and he's God on the best days. He's God in the mountain, and he's God in the valley. And I'm here to deliver to you this morning the word of God. And I'm not sugarcoating it, because Keisha, I just ain't the type of girl I am. We're going to preach the word. And so let's go to Psalms chapter 16. We're going to begin at verse 1. And I do not assume when I get up and minister that people know everything that I do. I do not assume that I know everything that they know. So in each message, I try to just start from the beginning of if nobody understood, we can catch those people and get everybody in the same spot. We've got people that have been in church for years and people that have been in church not years. And hey, all is good. We're glad that you're here. Thank you for coming to Paris Christian Center. Amen. Now, fancy. We're not in the habit of taking little kids and bringing them back to their parents because then they cannot. She wants her baby. Let's give that baby her baby. If you're listening to me by CD, this is not a planned service. We don't go by an itinerary where I won't just call things about little baby dolls out on the CD. So let me tell you what, this is real life, this is reality, things come up in life, and that's how I minister. This is not a fake thing, this is a real thing. Amen. Alrighty, we're getting some little girl in the church, her baby. That baby doll is very important to her, and I want her to have it. Amen. Bye, honey. All right. Children are a blessing. And that's how this ministry feels about them. Psalms chapter 16. Keep me safe, O God, for in you I take refuge. Now look here. There's a lot of things that's making a lot of folks feel unsafe. We need to come to a point in our life where we take the Word of God very literal and we apply it. So we're going to start from the very first verse where it says, keep me safe. There are things that like to exalt their self up above the Word of God. See, does the Word of God say that you can live in divine healing? It does. What happens when you get told you have cancer? What happens when you get told you got something incurable? What happens when affliction tries to come up inside of your body? What do we do about that? We rise up and we say, God, keep me safe. God, keep my healing, keep it intact. God, keep my finances safe. God, keep my emotional state safe. God, keep my children safe. God, keep my marriage safe. God, help me in every area. God, keep every area safe. You don't think that things try to rise up and exalt themselves among Jesus? They do. Case in point, you ever had your mind go willy-nilly with you? And you start thinking things that are kind of crazy. And you get worried. See? This is reality. life situations try to exalt themselves above what God told you you could have. God told you you could have your family. God has said He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Amen. You can have supernatural finances. Now, I'm not filling your head with a bunch of garbage. I'm telling you what the Word of God says that you can have. Now, it's up to you to apply it to your life. It ain't the pastor's problem when you time after time, you let those things exalt themselves among the living God. See, all I can do is preach to you and show you what God says that you can have. And when you can't have it, when you choose not to have it, it's not the pastor's fault. It's not the ministry's fault. It's your fault. Amen. Now, I know that's strong preaching. That is strong. Look here. I'm 34 and I'm full of it and I'm not here to lie to you. If something ain't working, you ain't applying it. Amen. That's why I'm up here teaching you how to apply it. How do you apply it? You speak to it. You speak to it. Something making you feel unsafe. You think your finances are going willy-nilly. You think your marriage is bad. You think this or you think that. What do? God, keep me safe. God, keep those finances safe. God, that child that wants to go off and sow wild oats, God, keep them safe. See, the family member that's causing you trouble, grief, agony, shame, despair, God, keep them safe. We like to think that we can control things. What I have learned in my 2 months of pastorship is this right here. Jody, there's no control in nothing. I can barely control myself. And I will not live under illusions that I can control anything other than that. But I serve the one that does. When things ain't going right, Donnie, I serve the one that can make them turn around. There's been too much of taking it upon ourselves to carry a load that we was never meant to carry. So today, I want to teach you some skills. See, church, this is a building. You are the church. You. This is a beautiful building. We've made it as pretty as we can make it. We've made it as comfortable as we can make it. We've gotten the best chairs that we can get for you. But do not kid yourself. You are the church. I can make this building as pretty as I want to make it, but look here. And I ain't going to win any brownie points, and it's a good thing I ain't worried about brownie points. If all the members is ugly on the inside, that ain't helping nothing. Look here. I don't have rhythm, and I will not dance around anything. We are the church. We are the church. And it's important that you walk out of here with skill. When something tries to come at you and it's making you feel down, Miss Joy, it's making us feel like, oh, I don't have control over the situation. It's making me antsy. Anybody ever get anxiety over not being able to control something like you want to? Amen. Me. Woo. Me. I got all my 5 fingers up, my 10 fingers, my 10 toes, every part of my body is saying me. I don't like to not have control. But I'm learning more and more to step back and say, God, keep that thing that I'm concerned about, keep it safe. God, do what only you can do. And I'm telling you right now, God, that I know, I recognize, and I identify that it probably will not be how I thought you were going to do it. Why? Because His ways are higher. His thoughts about His kids, they are higher. If God did everything the way that you thought He would or should do it, your life would still be unmanageable. Your life would still be in a slump. It's because He does things above what we can think or fathom. That's what's helping us to make it each and every single day. So When you have something in your life that's trying to exalt itself among what the Word of God has told you you could have, you speak to that thing and you said, God, I know you're keeping it safe. God, I know you got that. God, I'm concerned, but God, this is not bigger than you. Keep it into perspective. For in you, I take refuge. Now let me tell you something. Some of you ain't as feisty as me, and some of you are feistier than me. Nonetheless, this next part of this message is very important for you. For in you, I take refuge. There are some things, Heather, that get us to a point. You ever had something with one of your boys, and you thought, I want them to learn a lesson? I want them to learn. Don't put your hand over that fire no more. There's things that we allow. Carson, look here. He did something. I keep trying to get him not to. It ain't going to kill him. There's times where I let him do it. Why? So he'll never do it again. There are things God wants you to take. Mikey, we got to be doers of the word. There's things that are within our grasp, and God's saying, take them. Don't be intimidated by being told no. Oh, I don't think that'll happen for you. Oh, no, that's never going to be right. This has happened, blah, blah, blah. Let me tell you something. First of all, there's a first time for everything. But it says, God, in you I take refuge. See, there's a lot of things that we're taking, but we're not taking His refuge. What is refuge? We're going to get up here and we're going to read it, because I want you to understand what you've got right up under your nose. Refuge is a condition of being safe or sheltered from pursuit, danger, or trouble. God, in you, I take that refuge. I take it right now. See, when the devil rises up, see, what does God say that he'll do? When the enemy rises in, comes in like a flood, what does God say he'll do? He said, I will raise up a standard so the enemy won't cross it. A lot of us, we don't even have standards anymore. We're letting the devil come up into the territory that God said, hey, when you put your feet down, I'll give you the very territory that you put your foot to. And here we are, and we're going, oh, this situation. Look, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. I'm preaching at me, because I've been doing this all week. Amen. Glory. Amen. You got to take that. Keisha, we don't sit around and beg for whatever. We take that. Why? Because it said that we could. You want to be safe? You take that refuge. See, I've been saying, God, I don't want to minister up in somebody's shadow. And God said, Kelly, you're in my shadow. I will hide in the shadow of the Most High God. See? We got to take these things. You take refuge. See, Miss Rita, this is how we fight our battles. It's not by might. It's not by power. But it's by my Holy Spirit. It's nothing besides that. When we think we can control a situation and we want to get down and dirty with that, all we got to do is say, God, in Jesus' name, I thank you that you're taking this and you're taking it to the next level. You're causing that safety. You are the one that's holding this together, God. Not me. It's not by might. God, it's not by my worry. It's not by anything. But God, it's by you. And that's what we hold on to. We don't hold on to the thing that's fleeting. What's fleeting? This life. It's but a vapor. Get geared towards eternity. Get geared towards what's really going to be going on long term. It ain't what's down here. Love God. Love Him and serve Him. And take what He gave you. What did he say he's given you? Refuge. God in you. I take the refuge. I take the safety. I take the road, God, that doesn't fill with trouble. Refuge is something that has to be taken. You think you're going to be, look here. I'm just telling you. Some things you got to get up and you got to pull up your britches. Huh. And you got to say, look here. We're going to get through this. Amen. We're going to make it. Amen. We're going to get through it. How do we get through it? God. Amen. God's the only way. Amen. I'm not just saying that because I'm the pastor. I'm saying it because that's it. I don't have anything else to point you to. That is it. Amen. There is no other name that we can cry out that anybody else could be saved. There's not a name that we can call out, Jody, where we lay our hands on somebody and see them healed. See, there's only one name. So when you feel troubled, when you feel that anxiety, when you feel that depression, you say, God, keep me safe in the name of Jesus. By His wounds, we were healed. The punishment that brought us the peace, it was on Him. See, somebody took a punishment for you. And there are things that I want y'all to tap into. Why? Because I want to see you grow. Keep me safe, O God, for in you I take refuge. I said to the Lord. We're going to stop right there, see? I used to feel like I had to do all these verses. I'm not going to say I'm not going to do that in the future. But here lately, I've just kind of just been in one place and just said, you know what? We're going to take one passage and we're going to go on that. Line upon line, precept upon precept. I don't have any desire to shove a bunch of Bible verses down your throat and hope you can catch up onto one of them. Nope. We're going to look at one thing and we're going to meditate on that. Now it says, I said to the Lord. Now, if y'all are anything like me, sometimes you're guilty of saying something to everybody else besides the Lord. Amen. Glory. Now, I felt like that statement should deserve a bigger amen. So I'm going to say that again. I said to the Lord, there's too much of us saying something to everybody else besides the Lord. We got to take the Bible for what it is. When it says that David said to the Lord, what was he doing? He was talking to God. There's too much chitty-chatting with all the wrong people. Now, I ain't going to back up from that statement. I'm going to stand behind it. Too many folks standing and chitty-chatting with devils, with demons. Keisha's going, what? Look here. You get into an argument with somebody. See, we talked about this. And they're saying, oh, going to church ain't good for you. You're talking to a demon up inside of somebody that's trying to at you.
That's right.
You don't think demons are up inside of folks? Read your Bible. Read your Bible. Read the Bible. You don't think the devil is trying to get at you through Sally Sue? Yes, he is. Sally Sue probably don't even know it. Got too much talking going on. There's some things that need to be said from you to God. Too much energy going on. Diana, there are things that God wants to hear you say. To Him. All of us. What does God want to hear you say? Well, I'll take a page out of my own life. See, I can't preach anybody else's life but mine. What does God want me to hear me say? God, in Jesus' name, this is turning around. God, it's not by might. God, it's not by power. God, I know it's by Your Holy Spirit. God, I thank You that You've sent the Comforter. God, I thank You that You've delivered each and every single thing, God, to me. God, I thank You that if I stand on who You are, God, that You're backing me up. God, I thank You for the things that You're doing up inside of my family. See, you got to renew your mind because that devil's up in there telling you all the time it ain't working. This is going to be bad. Look here, you tell that devil to go to hell because that's where he belongs. And if anybody don't like that statement, I'm sorry, but hell is the devil's the only place and the only person in the Lamb's Book of Life. His name is already on the hell roll. That's where he's going. He wants to take everybody he can take with him. Hell is not a one-time thing. Hell is eternity. And I hate to tell you this, this is not a party up in hell. This is hell where demons are tormenting the souls that are down there. Take refuge in Him. Renew your mind. When something, you got to take every single thought captive. Those thoughts got to be in line with the Word of God. Something ain't going right in your life, check, go back to that thinking. It happens in your thought. And when that thought comes, grab that thought, take the Word of God, you surround that thought with the Word of God. See, because the Word of God tells you it is working. I was in Tin Box last week, and I was having a time. I was pushing my buggy. And the last time I was in Tin Box, I kind of got in the flesh a little bit because somebody was awfully mean to me and I just wanted to tell them off about it. And then I remembered I was a pastor and I shouldn't be doing that kind of stuff.
Glory to God.
Look here, the want to was still there. That old flesh. I thought, I'm not even in the town that I preach at. I'm going to indulge this terrible thing that I want to do. God said, uh-uh. Look here. You want to preach in power and authority? You keep your life clean, young lady. You want me to show up in them services that you preach at? You can't be doing that type of thing. See, there's a cost. You want what you want, but let me tell you something. There's a price to be paid. We got everybody all willy-nilly. Oh, I want this. I want that. God, I want You to do this. See, ain't nobody willing to actually pay the price for what it's going to take to get that. I'm asking you today, are you going to pay the price to get that answer to that prayer? Because some of these things, they ain't coming easy. But look here, just because they don't come easy doesn't mean they're not coming.
Right.
The fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man availeth much. It availeth, Miss Joy, above everything else. If God can get us in a fervence, Miss Mary, if God can get that heart of us pure to where when we pray, He can turn and He can hear what we're asking Him to do, and that heart inside of us is pure and we ain't boxing somebody up in the tin box, we on our way. Amen. But anyhow, I was in the tin box and I was pushing that buggy. And I had been talking to the Lord. See, that had been a day where I was saying some things to the Lord. I was in there and I was getting hot dogs because they were 75 cents a pack. And I was getting them for the Harvest Festival for all of us. And I was just all happy about it. And let me tell you, when you're going through the trial of your faith, this is what happens to us many times. We'll be going along in a day. And Heather, everything seems fine. And it's like a wave. Anybody relate? It's like a wave. A wave of what? Whatever the devil's trying to pull on you. Could be doubt and unbelief. Could be despair. Could be depression. Could be anxiety. Could be sadness. Could be hopelessness. It's a wave, is it not? You could be just fine, having a good day. And all of a sudden, see, it don't matter. God is no respecter of persons, and neither is the devil. And they don't care what time of day it is. See, God doesn't have to say, I'm not going to bless Diana till noon. And the devil doesn't say, I'm not going to attack her till noon, till she's had her coffee and she's feeling good about life. No, he going to get you anytime he thinks he wants to. So be on guard. So here I am, and I was having a glorious day getting these hot dogs. I was picturing the Harvest Festival, just happy. Oh, and all of a sudden, hear that wave come. See, you going through a trial, you're going to deal with some waves of some things. See, I've been grieving. I've been interceding. I've had my moment of despair. I've had my moment where I was walking through my kitchen, and that wave just come, and I just fall to my knees, and I said, God, if you don't interfere, God, it won't happen. See, I know what it's like, and I can preach it because I've lived it. I know what it's like to have that moment. I know how it's like to be on that wave. I know. And God said, Kelly, if you'll give me what's mine, I'll give you what's yours. I said, God, you know I'm not the brightest person in the world. What's yours? Just so I know we know what everybody's talking about. God, what's yours? What do you want? He said, the battle. I want the battle. I said, God, what's mine? He said, the victory.
Hallelujah. Amen.
If you can give God what's His, what is His? The battle. Yeah. The battle is His. The battle belongs to the Lord.
Yeah.
It's easier to say when you're on the mountain, isn't it, Sonia? It's easy to say, oh, the battle is the Lord's. That's easy to say when you're having a good day. It's hard to even get it out of your mouth when you're having a bad day. When the devil's told you a bunch of stuff. When you're riding that wave. It's easy to say it when everything's going right. It's hard to say it when it ain't going right. Difficult. See, the battle belongs to the Lord, and the victory belongs to you. But just like the refuge that I spoke of earlier, you have to take that. See, and the violent take it by force. See, some things, we got to get mad about what the devil has done, and we got to take our life back. We got to take it back. We got to offer it up. And it says, I said to the Lord, you are my Lord. See, is He your Lord? Or have you taken ownership of it today? Have you said, God, you're my God. God, you're my God. And God, I'm not going to be mad at you when things don't go my way. God, I'm not going to be mad at you when stuff happens and this is not how I thought my life would turn out. See, anybody ever thought that thought? See, God, I'm not going to hold it against you, God, that it didn't happen in the way that I thought that it would happen. God, I'm going to be that person. I'm going to woman up. I'm going to man up. And I'm just going to be who you said that I am. God, who do you say that I am? You're the apple of my eye. You're my kid. See, who does God say you are? A lot of us are in an identity crisis in this world that we're living in today because we don't know who we are. Because we've been brought down by some situations and God's wanting us to be lifted out of them. It's time to go to the next phase. What is the next phase, victory? The next phase is victory. What does victory take? What does it take to walk in victory? It takes you holding on. If you let go in the hardest of that trial, it ain't going to turn out like how God wanted it to. If you're in a battle today, I'm here to tell you, hold on to that. Hold on. Hold on just a little bit longer. You want that victory in the fullness that God wants you to have it? Hold on. Don't feel sorry for yourself. Don't be asking God, why me? Why this? We've been doing this forever. We got years wrapped up into this mess and over here. Stop that. I said to the Lord, say something productive to God. Say something he can bless. What can he bless? Faith. God, I thank you that it's turning around. God, I thank you that you've not taken your hand off of the situation. God, I thank you that I can do all things through him that strengthens me. God, I thank you that I walk in that complete healing. God, I thank you that my family, they're lining up with the Word of God. God, I thank you that you will shut every mouth of every one of my enemies. See? There are things that God needs to hear you say. And I got one better for you. There are things that you need to hear you say. Amen. Now, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You want to get that bad attitude turned around, that doubt and unbelief turned around? You talk to it. This is turning around. Not because of all the wrong things I've done, but because of the one right thing that Jesus Christ did when he hung on that cross for me. Yes. See, it's not a matter of what you did. Yes. See, God's not sitting here beating you over the head. He's sitting there saying, I love you. I know exactly what I'm doing. I've got you right here. I won't let you go. But don't you walk away. Don't you walk away from me, child. Victory is the next phase, folks. Victory. Now, you can walk in victory or you can walk in defeat. But, Brother Ernie, God's got the victory. He said it's yours. What do you have to give him? The battle. The battle. What you're going through, I want to tell you that God cares about it. Not only does he care, but he knows more about it than what you even know. See, we think that we know all the intricacies about some things. We don't. God knows the very moment the devil got up in that situation. He knows the very foothold that let him be in the door. He knows the moment he just walked right in. And I promise you, he knows the moment that devil is walking out for good. See, he knows. He is not the author of confusion, but he is the author and the finisher of our very faith. If you're sitting here and you're messed up this morning about how you started things and how you did this and how you did that, I want to tell you that you know what? Let that go. All the shoulda, coulda, wouldas about your life, all the regrets, all that stuff, I'm going to ask you to let that go because it's holding you back. It's holding you back to the victory that God has for you. It is holding you back. You don't think everybody has those shoulda, coulda, woulda regrets? Yes, we do. From the pastor to the youngest kid up in this place to the oldest kid, we all got those regrets, baby. Let me tell you, there are things I thank God. There's the blood because, see, they're under that, Jody. They can never be talked about because, see, they're under it. We all have those things that we're ashamed of. But, Keisha, God is not looking at those. If you have said, God, forgive me of that, what he did is he puts all that stuff and he puts it under the blood of his son that was shed. You don't have to talk about that anymore because, see, he doesn't even know what you're talking about. Now, the devil knows. And if you open that door to the devil, you're going to get condemned. The devil's going to condemn you and he's going to make you feel bad about whatever it was. But you don't have to live like that. God has the victory for you. And it says, I said to the Lord, you are my Lord, and apart from you, I have no good thing. See, apart from God, none of it's going right. Apart from God, yeah, it looks like a mess. But see, we're not apart from God. We're with God. So apart from God, there is no good thing. And as for the saints who are in the land, they are the glorious ones in whom is all my delight. And the sorrows of those will increase who run after other gods. What are other gods? Let me enlighten you. The sorrows are going to increase for people that they're running after other gods. What are other gods? Anything that you put above the living God. Any thing, whether it's a relationship that you know you should not be in, whether it's a way of thinking that you know ain't right, whether it's a sin that you're doing. See, sin can be another God. You can love that sin so much that you just give full way to it, and it is your God. See, you're serving it. You're living for that sin. You're willing to die for that sin. Those who chase and run. See, lots of people like to chase, and lots of people like to run. All them folks, what did we just read? All their sorrows are increasing. You want your sorrows to decrease? Talk to the Lord. Start saying, God, I thank you for the safety. God, I thank you that, you know what, you don't remember those things that I told you that I was sorry for. The sorrows of those will increase who run after other gods. And I will not pour out their libations of blood or take up their names on my lips. Lord, you have assigned me my portion and my cup. Every one of us has something that God has set us out to do. God, you assigned that. You assigned it, God. You called me to do that. Look here, if you was called by man, you'd have something to worry about. You're not. Whatever God has called you to do, He is the supply of everything that you need. He's the patience to give you to do it. He's the defender when everybody's talking about you when you're doing it. He's the healer when your heart gets broken when you're doing it. Everything that He's called you to do, He assigns you that cup. He's given you your portion. He's given you everything to walk in the call. Everything. Many people will not answer to the Lord when He's calling them to do something. We're all called. Your life, if you're breathing, you're called. Don't run from your calling. Don't think it's too hard. Don't dread your calling. Run with it. Just go with it. God's going to give you everything that you need to do it. Lord, you have assigned me my portion and my cup, and you have made my lot secure. So many children of God are walking around very insecure. Insecure of who we are. Insecure of what we are, insecure of everything about us. But what does it say? It says, Lord, you have assigned me my portion and my cup, and you have made my lot secure. See, nobody else. Nobody else is going to validate you. Nobody else is going to validate me. We don't need validation from anything else but the living God. God, you did it. You made it secure. If we're insecure, it's not God that's doing that. But there's a lot of insecurity in the children of God. A lot of things making us feel like, oh, I'm not qualified for that. Look at everybody. Look at all the great people in the Bible. Moses, I can't talk. No. And you got people like Jonah. They're just straight up running from it. I am not going there. I am not going to forgive my enemy. I am not going to go to that dreadful town. Nineveh? No. Nah. Not going to do it. No. I don't want to. I don't want to do that. I'm my own person. I can do whatever I want to. I'm grown. You ever met somebody grown and miserable? Ever been grown and miserable? Look here. Don't be like that. Don't be insecure. God's made you secure. If He didn't, He wouldn't put it in His Word. Lord, you have assigned me my portion and my cup, and you have made my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. See, boundary lines. What are the boundary lines? The boundary lines, they've fallen. And they've fallen for me in pleasant places. Boundaries. 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 Why am I repeating that? Because lots of us need to get that in our head and set some boundaries. When God says they've fallen, you don't go over that boundary. And look here, baby, you don't let nobody else cross over that boundary. He who the Son sets free, they're free indeed. But let me tell you something. When God says the boundary fell, and it fell in pleasant places, don't let that filth come back up into your life, because it's going to only cause you grief. See, when God said, I'm setting you free, the boundary is here, and you let that filth come back up into your life. Look, I don't care if you gave God your life when you were 7 years old like me. I have to let God set the boundary. You don't think I've let people go? I've let them go because I love God. I love God more than I love anything else. There is not a person I would not let go if it meant me going to heaven. Look here, the boundary has fallen for me in the pleasant places, and the filth is staying out. The filth that brought me down, the filth that was going to send me to hell, it's staying back. Some of us been Christians for a long time. We get into where we think the things God did through us, we can take credit. We can't take credit for what God did through us. We don't take that credit. Freely you have received, now freely give. You take that step back, you look at that boundary, and you said, God, I'm not crossing it, and God, neither is the devil. Nobody is crossing that boundary. Boundaries. Boundaries. When you look at some parts of your life and you're miserable, why is that? Because somebody's crossed a boundary. Somebody's crossed something they shouldn't have crossed. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Let me tell you something. You cross that boundary, the pleasant place is going to become hell on earth, I promise you. You think you've grown? You think you want to cross that boundary? I'd think about that. See, it can be in some pleasant places or it can be in some rough places. What do you want? How do you want to live? Keep the filth out. See, we get bored. Oh, I'm bored. Look here. When I can pay all my bills, Jody, and I got money to go to McDonald's, to me, that's not boring. Okay? I don't know what people being stimulated and watching too much TV. Why is that? Well, let me tell you. That's why all these people are blowing up all these schools. We've been watching too much crap, playing too many video games with this stuff, and these people can't differentiate between reality and real life. We got to get that stuff out. Lord, you have assigned me my portion and my cup, and you have made my lot secure, and the boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely, surely, it's a for sure thing. Surely, I have a delightful inheritance. See, you do. You surely do. Don't go messing it up. You got a delightful inheritance. It's only when we leave God and we do stuff like that, delight becomes awful. God's not going to be mocked. Don't sit in the seat of mockers, and don't stand in the way of sinners. You want things to be pleasant and delightful? Do what we've talked about. Talk to God. Call out to Him. When that wave comes up on you, what do we do? How do we fight our battles? We talk to it. We talk to it. We tell it. Surely I have a delightful inheritance, and I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. Look here. Who's having trouble sleeping? Anybody having some trouble sleeping? Raise your hand. What does God say He does? We're going to read about that for about 5 minutes. Surely I have a delightful inheritance, and I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. See, when you're sleeping, you know that you serve a God that never sleeps or slumbers. What does he do? He lets that physical body of yours rest because it needs rest. But while you're resting, he has the ability to minister to that heart exactly what's needed in the situation. It says he instructs my heart even in the middle of the night. I have set the Lord always before me. If God's before you, who can be against you? But you need to set God before you. Too many people calling on the name of God when the trouble starts. No, you need to call on God way before trouble starts. When it's going good. When there's no problem. Why? So you can be all practiced up for when the trouble comes. When the trial comes. I have set the Lord always before me, and because He is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. If there's a thing that I could say that's going on more than ever before that I've ever seen, things and people are being shaken like never before. Why is that? Because we are living in the last days. Everything is being shaken. Shaken. Shake and bake. We're like that piece of chicken we done put in that bag. We got that bread in and we're just shaking it up. See, that's what life is doing. Just shaking us. You don't want to be shaken? Well, set God before you. I have set the Lord always before me because He is at my right hand. I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. If your tongue is doing anything besides rejoicing, I'm going to ask you to turn it around. I'm either going to ask you to be quiet till you can get it to rejoicing or just rejoice.
Hallelujah.
Why am I saying this? Because this is an area of my life that I'm not good at. I like to do a lot of other things besides rejoice with this little mouth of mine. Look here, I'm not going to lie. Tell it like it is. Why? So people can get it right too. It's not just enough for the pastor to act like they're perfect. No. I'm going to be the first one to tell you I am not perfect. I'm going to be the first one to tell you I don't always got this in check. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices, and my body also will rest secure. Once again, there's security. Once again, see, He made your lot secure, and He's even saying, hey, your body can rest securely. You don't got to be tore up on the inside all the time. Because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence. Are you sad this morning? Do you got things going on that look so big? How do you get filled with something else besides despair, besides sadness, besides depression? You get in His presence. You get in His presence. What have you heard today? You've heard talk to God. Tell Him. You've heard that you don't have to be insecure. God's got you. And God's got this. And you've heard get into the presence of God. You want joy? Get into His presence. In His presence there is fullness of joy. That depression has to go. In His presence. The despair, the irritation, the anger, the feeling like somebody did you wrong, that has to go. But you got to be in His presence. His presence has an authority like no other thing. Nothing can stand up like that in His presence. You will fill me with joy in your presence and with eternal pleasures at your right hand. Hear, O Lord, my righteous plea, and listen to my cry. Give ear to my prayer. It does not rise from deceitful lips. May my vindication come from you. Your vindication is coming from God. Your supply, your help, it's coming from the Lord. Nobody else. Nobody else has the authority to give you that. Nobody else has the authority to give you the victory. And look here, nobody else has the authority to give the battle to the Lord but you. Amen. We got authority boundaries here. We got to give the battle to the Lord. We're the only ones that can do that. See, is the battle concerning you? You give it to the Lord. If you want His victory, give it to the Lord. Nobody has the authority to do that but you. And nobody has the authority to turn it around but Him. Amen. If a man could give you this, we wouldn't be here today. If you didn't need a Savior, He wouldn't have given you a Savior. You needed it. It was the only way. It was the only way that we could have eternity with the Lord. So what did He do? He gave us the most precious thing that He had. Why? So you could walk in absolute victory. So you could hold your head up instead of having your head down, ashamed all the time. You think God wants you beat down? No, He doesn't. He wants that head up. He wants you happy. He wants your head up. Why? So you can see Him. So you can help other people see Him. You don't think that God wants us to do this, Keisha? When people come in and they're hurting, you don't think God wants you to be able to say, hey, put your head up. Put your head up. That's exactly what He wants us to do. Help people put their head up. Don't be the one that's beating them down. Amen. Say, look here, you got something up with your life. I know the person that's going to help you. Amen. Your help can only come from the Lord. Now, I'm going to ask you to stand. God is so good.
Yes,
He is good all the time. God, in Jesus' name, Lord, I loose right now the Comforter.
Yes. Thank you, God.
Lord, I loose right now, God, Your healing all over this place. Lord, I loose victory. God, I loose right now the ability for these people to let some things go. God, I loose Your peace right now. God, it's the peace that's coming into them right now, that's passing all understanding. God, there's things we don't understand, but God, we don't have to, because there's a peace, and it's passing all understanding. And God, we worship You, and we magnify You, and we give it to You right now in Jesus' name. Amen.